exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is your host, Paul Metters. Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is always a lot of fun to recap the high school games from up and down the Central section here on 1430 ESPN. We had a ton of good games. Now, next week are bye weeks for most of the teams in the Central section. A few have games, a few had their bye weeks early, but most of the teams have bye weeks before league starts again. A few leagues have started already, but this is kind of the last push before league starts. So teams are going to be able to recover for the next week and let their bodies cool down and recover. But yeah, we had a lot of great action up and down the valley and the coast and down in Bakersfield up north as well. I'm going to be recapping that for the next 2 hours. So coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo. Gabe and I were at the Clovis West and Edison game last night. We were able to broadcast it. Jose and I were able to do the pregame and the halftime show and the postgame show. We're going to be breaking down that Clovis West win. It was ended up being 35-6, and it was all Clovis West in the first half, all Clovis West. And the second half was a little bit different. It was a little bit different. Clovis West obviously didn't score in the second half, and Edison got the one touchdown. But it was quite an interesting second half. But Clovis West, they dominated in the first half. I'm going to be talking about that game and much, much more with Gabe Camarillo coming up after the break. Also, we got Coach Kenny Pellinelli of Madera. Those Coyotes, man, they won again. They beat Del Oro last night 49-0. They're 4-1. Like most schools, they got the bye week and then headed into CMAC play. But Coach Pellinelli's done a really good job this year. A little bit of question marks about his team, but last two games, they've pitched shutouts. They beat Madera South the week before, and like I said, beat Del Oro last night 49-0. So Coach Pellinelli coming in at the bottom of our number one. At the top of our number two, friend of the show, friend of everybody. Man, this guy, he talk about being able to work a room. Trevor Horn, he is the SID at Garces Memorial High School. Was a longtime preps writer at the Bakersfield, California. Does an incredible job, man. That guy knows inside and outside of the Central section, especially football. He's always a great, great conversation, full of energy and full of opinions as well. So I have a feeling he's going to have an opinion or two. That is at top of our number two. At the bottom of our number two, I am super, super pumped about this guest at the bottom of our number two. Central Valley head coach Mason Hughes, another friend of the show, comes on every year. He's doing a great job. I've known Mason for, I don't know, about 30 years or so. And he's bringing his star running back, Bryson Donaldson. I'm sure you've heard about Bryson Donaldson. He is the best running back. I don't know. I don't know if I should say that outright. Let's say he is one of the top running backs, if not the best running back in the Central section. Clovis North has a couple good running backs as well. But Bryson Donaldson and Mason Hughes are coming in on the show live here at First String Sports at 11:30. Super excited about that. Well, first of all, their game went late last night. Beat Mission Oak, a lot of points aplenty in that one. But talked to Coach Hughes a couple days ago. He's like, yep, we'll drive in. Bull drive in, so they're driving in from Visalia. Super excited about hearing those guys. Bryson Donaldson, tons of Division I offers. Boise State, okay, all right. But what about Fresno State? He's got a scholarship offer from the hometown Dogs. We'll be talking about that and the incredible season that they had. I think he had over 300 yards rushing last night. So super excited about that. Okay, you can follow me on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. I still call it Twitter. At Paul Metters, PaulMeadors, and also at 1430 ESPN. We keep you up to date on all the good stuff that's happening in the Central Valley. All right, we want to thank Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating as well. Right now it's 75 degrees with a high of 94. Still a little hot, right? When it gets to the mid-90s, it still gets you pretty good. High 94, but tomorrow we're dropping into the 80s, low 80s, 88, and then looks like 80s for a while, and hopefully hopefully for the rest of the year. I don't want to see any more 90 degrees. But thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the show. And, of course, thank you to First String Sports. They were my day one sponsors. I do my show live here in the Letterman's Jacket Room. When I walk in at around 9 o'clock, the store opens at 9, there were already three people that were either picking up their Letterman's Jacket or talking about it. This is the only place where you can get them. They'll custom embroider them here, put Bible verses, whatever you want on your Letterman's Jacket. So thanks to First String Sports for being our sponsors. All right, let's get into some scores here. I mentioned, click on the right thing. There we go. There were some games Thursday night. Every Thursday there's a handful of games up and down the valley. Last night, there are tons of games. We did the Clovis West and Edison game at Ratcliffe Stadium. And what was really cool about that is we were able to see a lot of the other stadium lights. We were able to see Sunnyside and McLean. But there was a really good game at McLean on Thursday night. Those Highlanders, they keep winning. They're 3-1. They beat Fresno on Thursday night, 54-7. Coach Pancotti was on the show last week. Man, that guy's doing a phenomenal job. They have athletes all over the field. And more importantly, man, they just love their coach. They would run through a wall for that guy. He is absolutely amazing. So they keep winning. Huh. Interesting, right? You play hard for your coach and keep winning football games. So McLean over Fresno, 54-7. Sunnyside beat Madera South, 60-7. And Buchanan beat San Joaquin Memorial, 31-3 at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Now, if you're in tune at all with what's going on football-wise in the Central Valley, you know what's going on at San Joaquin Memorial. Gabe Camarillo and I, we're going to be talking about this a little bit, but their quarterback transferred in from Los Angeles this summer. And there was a lot of hype around him. His tape looked really good. He was super fast. We know what Memorial did last year, making all the way to the D1 Central Section Championship game before losing to Liberty. And they tried to reload. They got some guys in. They got C.J. Jones from Sunnyside, transferred to Memorial, became ineligible. And I think that played a part in then Jalen Patterson just leaving. Leaving the school, leaving the football team, and the story goes is he went back to Los Angeles. So he's no longer on the team. So that team is a little bit in flux. So, yeah, I mean, just kind of on one hand, it's an unfortunate situation. We always root for kids. But, yeah, that's just a tough situation going on over there at San Joaquin Memorial right now. They lost to Buchanan 31-3. All right, let's go over some scores from Friday night, from last night. Orosi put up 54 against Farmersville, won 54-8. Strathmore defeated Orange Cove. They had to come back in that one, 23-20. Woodlake got a good team, man. Be careful of the Tigers over there. They look really strong. Defeated Lindsay 27-0. In the Mountain League, Aurora Grande beat Lompoc 41-23. Paso beat Rigetti 21-14. And St. Joseph, they're depending on what poll you go, look at, they can be anywhere from 6 to 10 in rankings. They got a good team. They got a really good team. They defeated Napomo 47-0, running clock in the second half. In North Yosemite action, Sanger West defeated Hoover 33-16. That was a game that Hoover was leading 16-13. Sanger West came back to win that one. Torres, strong program there, defeated Roosevelt 35-14. Carruthers defeated Liberty of Madera. That was a game that we had our eyes on. 58-26. Points of plenty in that one. We talked about Hunter Babb. Hunter Babb was on the show last week for Carruthers. They're running back that's just putting up amazing numbers. Best numbers in the state of California. The week before against Riverdale, he rushed for 440 yards, 6 touchdowns. Well, what did he do for an encore against a strong Liberty team? Well, he rushed for 331 yards and 6 more touchdowns. Unbelievable. He has around 1,500 yards, guys. 1,500 yards in 5 games. He's on a 3,000 yard pace, which is absolutely remarkable. Chowchilla defeated Yosemite 53-6. Fowler all over Parlier 60-24. Bubba Smith, their quarterback, threw for 8 touchdowns in that one. 8. Guys are putting up crazy numbers in the first part of this high school football season. So Bubba Smith, Fowler, 8 touchdown passes in a win over Parlier. Minarets defeated Riverdale 42-0. In South Sequoia League, Kennedy defeated Taft 44-0. They keep on rolling. And Shafter, the number 15 team in my poll, over on the central section, defeated Chavez 33-7. Wasco defeated McFarland 49-8. In non-league action, Avenel defeated Hanford West 20-10. Central Valley Christian 63, Mission Oak 38. So what do we got? 101 points in that one. We'll be talking about that with Coach Hughes and Bryson Donaldson at the bottom of hour number two. But Central Valley Christian, they keep putting up points. Bryson Donaldson is a huge reason why. All right. At McLean Stadium last night, Clovis and Bullard. Bullard was leading this one, 20-21. Clovis got a kickoff return for a touchdown and then scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter to beat Bullard 35-28. Is the story more about Clovis in that one coming back, or is it about Bullard hanging tough? Absolutely hanging tough, right? We know what they did against Clovis West last week. They were at 20-0 in halftime. Ended up losing 21-20, but the young Knights are showing, yeah, even though they're 1-4, they're keeping these games competitive. Clovis East defeated Kerman 55-20. It's plenty of stats in that one. And then the game that we did, 35-6, Clovis West over Edison. Tyler Patrick threw for 4 touchdowns. Jordan Piero caught 3. Marshall Sanders 1. Landon Wright 1. That was a dominating first half by Clovis West. Kalinga defeated Garza. This score is very interesting, 20-15. Low scoring. Thought it'd be a little bit higher, but Kalinga's got a good squad. Garza going to have a week off before they enter CMAC play. Dinuba beat Washington Union 42-26. Frontier defeated Independence 49-13. Hanford, they responded after that loss to Frontier, defeated a good Redwood team. But Redwood, yeah, they're a little tough to figure out. They gave up 47 points to Hanford and lost 47-28. But Redwood, you know, they'll be back. Coach Charton does a great job there. And Liberty, I'm sorry, Emmanuel defeated to come back and came back against Fireball. It won 26-22. I skipped ahead a little bit. The big one down in Bakersfield, Liberty, number 2 in my poll. I put Clovis North up ahead of Liberty, defeated Central 35-14. Just too much Patriots in that one. They got a really good team again in Central. Driving down to Bakersfield is never easy, so the Grizzlies fall 35-14. Madera, we're going to talk with Coach Palinelli in a few minutes here, defeated Del Oro 49-0. Sanger defeated Centennial 21-7. The Apaches keep winning. They are the hands-on favorite to win the CMAC this year. Selma defeated Reedley 27-21. Congrats to the Bears for winning their first game this season. They had to hold off Reedley, who made a great comeback in the fourth quarter in that one. Stockdale defeated El Diamante 22-14. And Tehachapi defeated Arvin 48-7. But the big one, guys, waiting till almost up against the break here. The big one, Clovis North, the Broncos at home, defeated State Power Jay Serra 23-7. A lot of hype about this one. A lot of hype. Jay Serra, depending on what ranking you go by, was ranked anywhere between 6 and 10 in the state of California. Clovis North was on the bubble despite being 4-0, despite us hyping them up to everybody up and down the state. Yeah, they took care of business. That, from all accounts, from a lot of different people, that was a dominating performance by Clovis North and their running game. Jackson Sinfell, McKay Madsen each had a rushing touchdown. Mario Cosma threw a touchdown pass to Vincent Cordoba for 49 yards. Jay Serra got a late touchdown with under 2 minutes left in the game. Very easily could have been a shutout. So Clovis North, I expect them to be ranked around 15th or 16th in the state. They're 5-0 heading into the bye week and to the track. But what a great win for not only Clovis North, but for the Central Valley to beat Jay Serra from the Trinity League. Congrats to them. All right. Enough for me. After the break, we're going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo about the Clovis West and Edison game from last night and much, much more coming up on 1430 ESPN. I wanted to highlight, too, the incredible student section last night at the Clovis West and Edison game. Student section, we were on the Edison side, the home side at Ratcliffe Stadium. And if you guys know anything about Ratcliffe, you know, the press box is high up there. And so we broadcasted the game from tables right before the right in front of the press box there. But this, the student section was was incredible for Edison. They stood up the whole game. They had those fluorescent jackets on. The mascot was awesome. In fact, the mascot came up. Obviously, he wasn't fully dressed, but he came up and, you know, gave us some knuckles and said, "Hey, I'm the mascot. Look out for me doing some flips in my mascot costume." We're like, "Okay, cool, man. Yeah, we'll check it out." And sure enough, we heard some commotion down there from the Edison student section. We looked down, and there's the Tiger mascot just doing these backflips. And so that was awesome. Got everybody riled up. And student section really came alive in the second half, and for good reason. You know, Clovis West was up 35-0 at half, and Jose Gonzalez asked me on the broadcast, "Hey, so if you're the coaching staff for Edison, what do you tell the guys?" I'm like, "Well, win the half, right? That's all you can do. Win the half." And sure enough, they did. They scored 6 points. It was a strange game because there was a running clock. Clovis West was only able to run 5 plays in the second half. But, yeah, the exuberance of not only the players of Edison in the second half, but of the student section was to be commended. It was really, really neat to see. They could have just lied down or gone home or been walking around on their phones on Snapchat or whatever, but they didn't. They cheered for their Tigers the whole way through, and that was really, really neat to see. I want to bring on Gabe Camarillo to talk about that game a little bit more and about the situation going on at San Joaquin Memorial, maybe a little bit about rankings if we got time. You know Gabe from Home Field Advantage 3 to 5 Monday through Thursday, my right-hand man, and all this fun high school stuff that we're able to talk about on a daily basis and tweet about. So, Gabe, wasn't that really neat? You were down there on the field for the game as well. Wasn't that really cool to see the Edison student section?
Yeah, it was really cool. And I know my sister was part of it because yesterday was her first ever high school football game. So that was kind of a neat experience to tie into work, you know, doing the game on the broadcast, but also bringing my sister to her first game. I don't know if she had a ride besides me. So if I wasn't doing that game, then she would not have gone to that game. My parents weren't going to let her go to the game. So, yeah, it was fun to have all that kind of on a personal level and also as a fan of the sport. A student section is always good for high school football. And whenever you have a boisterous, fun, engaging student section where it doesn't matter what the score is, they're just there to have a good time and they're making noise for their home team, I think that's always good for the sport.
No, absolutely. And I was happy that you had a little family ties to that. You're alum of the school as well. But let's talk about the game a bit. A lot of question marks, let's be honest, about Clovis West and, you know, how they're going to do in the track. Is their team built to go against some of these really physical teams? And, you know, the Air West mantra, it's hit or miss sometimes. They got really good receivers, but they certainly hit a lot in that first half, 35-0. What impressed you about Clovis West in that first half?
They could probably outrun most of the teams in the track. So, yeah, sure, can they outmuscle Clovis North? Probably not. But they might not have to. They might have to make Clovis North play from behind because of how they get out quickly. I was really impressed with how fast they started. After, I think, getting a 4-and-out on the first drive, they went 5 straight drives scoring, and it wasn't like they were getting, you know, these small touchdowns. It was a 29-yard touchdown to Piero, then a 22-yard touchdown to Piero, and then a 71-yard touchdown to Piero, then a 6-yard touchdown pass to Sanders, but then after that, a 50-yard touchdown to Wright. So you had the big three for Clovis West and Jordan Piero, Landon Wright, and Marshall Sanders all getting touchdowns, and Tyler Patrick threw 4 of them. Really efficient Tyler Patrick last night. If he plays like that during track play and the defense continues to do its thing, causing havoc, Clovis West forces turnovers. I don't know what the exact number is, but I think they're one of the most turnover-happy defenses in the track. So they force turnovers against Clovis North or against the Clovis East, and they have the offense on the field for most of the game. They have the athletes that not anyone else in the track has. So I think Clovis West might be a sleeper pick. And it's kind of weird to call them that because everyone was saying they're number one preseason, but they called them number one preseason for a reason. They still have the most Division I talent in the Valley on one team.
But you're right, Gabe. But their defense really impressed, especially that first half. Defensive coaching staff was dialing blitzes at the perfect time. You know, Kajavi is one of the best linebackers, if not the best linebacker in the Central Valley. He played lights out like a senior that's headed to Fresno State. So he played really good. But that defense, I thought, really came to play as well.
Yeah, Kajavi, I think he is the best linebacker right now in the Valley. And I know there's a really good linebacker at Buchanan, but I watched both of them back-to-back days. I watched Stute on Thursday and Kajabi on Friday, and I think Kajabi made more plays against the CMAC team. I mean, they both faced kind of the same level of competition at Memorial and Edison. I just felt Kajabi, he forced two fumbles. He had a huge tackle for loss, for a six-yard loss. He had a sack as well. And he also had one of the biggest hits that didn't show up on the stat sheet. I posted it on Twitter. Rashad Perry makes a nice move, jukes out a couple Clovis West defenders, and here comes number three just barreling in with a bone-crushing hit and carries a pile of three high schoolers to the ground. He pushed three high schoolers, two of his own teammates, and Perry to the ground with just his force. I think Kajabi is playing the best linebacker right now in the Valley.
Yeah, the two games that we've been able to watch, number three has definitely stood out for the Golden Eagles. All right, Clovis North, they did it. Upset? No, I don't think so. Right? We watch these teams with our own eyeballs, and, you know, we talk to people as well. We're like, be careful with Clovis North. That was a great matchup with Jay Sarah. Their styles were similar, and from all accounts, Gabe, and I know you were texting people and you saw a couple videos as well. By all accounts, Clovis North dominated Jay Sarah physically in that one.
Yeah, I was getting some accounts telling me that Jay Sarah had the speed, but Clovis North was there at every step. I also saw that Andrew Chavez had two interceptions. I know that the Jay Sarah quarterback was offered by Boston College and Florida State and Cincinnati, and he, coincidentally enough for this weekend, is going to Arizona State. But his passing numbers did impress me on Max Preps. I got to be honest. Like, going into this game, he had just over 400 passing yards in four games. He had a lot of rushing yards, so I assumed, you know, this is a running quarterback. Maybe that's a challenge for Clovis North, but that was not the case. It should have been a shutout from the accounts of people who were at the game, and there were a lot at this game that got to see one of the best Central Section over Trinity League wins we've ever seen. I know there's a win Clovis West over Modern Day, but when you consider the Central Section's track record against the best football league in high school football in California, this has to be right up there, right? I mean, how many times has a Central Section team beat a Trinity League squad?
Yeah, it's been a while, and I think that's definitely going to send waves up and down the state. Oh, yeah, Clovis North is definitely legit. And they got the bye week before starting off with Clovis East. That is going to be a hot game to start off track play. So the rankings, according to Cal Preps, have been updated, right? We love it when Cal Preps is able to do that. And Clovis East was number one last week, but no surprise, you hit the refresh button, and there's Clovis North sitting at number one on Cal Preps. Again, that's the website that our Central Section uses for playoff rankings, playoff seedings, and there's Clovis East at number two, and then there's Liberty at number three. A little surprising, right? Clovis West at four, Central at five, Sanger at six, Frontier at seven, Buchanan at eight. I think, Gabe, we're going to have to give some more respect to Buchanan in my rankings next week. St. Joseph at 9 and Central Valley Christian at 10. And then there's Clovis, Kingsburg, Hanford, Lemoore, and Aurora Grande is now number 15. But, Gabe, Liberty defeated Central at home. We saw the Liberty and Buchanan game where Liberty beat Buchanan 35-30. What can you say now? We can compare some scores with track schools and Liberty. What do you think about Liberty now?
I think Liberty might have had just a bad game against Buchanan. Now that I think about it, looking at how good they played at home against Central, they are a different team when they play on the road, right? They typically have had road success. They beat Buchanan on the road last year in the playoffs. They also won on the road in the state playoffs as well. I think Liberty probably had a really good game plan for Central last night because they kept Central to 14 points, and not many teams can do that. Not many defenses can keep the Grizzlies to under three touchdowns, under 20 points. I think they probably got some turnovers. I saw a couple plays of that game. I was watching it on my phone. It was on the stream. Trajan Fulton had a really good touchdown catch. Actually had two really good touchdown catches. Cole O'Brien had some really good throws. I think he looked much improved from the game against Buchanan. So you look at O'Brien's passing numbers against Buchanan. He went 4 for 14. That's probably on the lower end of his spectrum of results. He probably is more of a 100 to 200 yard passer. I think he does enough for this team. What this Liberty team really does well is run the football. I think that is probably a trouble point for Central. The commentators on the Central Liberty broadcast were telling me that you know, it looks like Liberty was getting these big runs on first down. They were getting 5, 6, 7 yards on first down, and that really put Central's defense on its heels. It's really hard to defend Central when it's second and short, third and short. So Liberty just keeps doing their thing. They win first down. They move the chains. They turn the ball over on defense. I think all those things is what we typically see from the Patriots. And so them being number three, they probably take that as a sign of disrespect, but keep in mind this. Clovis North and Clovis East play each other in a couple weeks, and I think whoever loses that game probably falls behind Liberty. Although, picture this, Paul. If Clovis East beats Clovis North, do you put Clovis North ahead of Liberty? Do you keep Liberty at number three in that case?
Oh, man, that's a great question. If Clovis East beats Clovis North, I probably do, just because that win over Jay Sarah just stands out. But, yeah,
So if you're Liberty, you're cheering for Clovis North in a couple weeks. Because yeah. If Clovis East wins, and they totally could, right? Ty Miller, I think Ty Miller's a better quarterback than that Jay Sarah quarterback, because Ty Miller can throw football. Oh, yeah. So I think Clovis East could easily win that game at home at La Monica Stadium. And if they beat Clovis North, then all of a sudden Liberty, I think, stuck at third for the time being.
Yeah, and don't forget that Liberty and Frontier in the same Southwest Yosemite River League, so those two teams are going to match up. But 1, 2, 3, 4 of the top five teams, according to Cal Preps, are from the track. So, yeah, I can't wait for track to begin. Gabe, I know you and I talked about this on your show on Thursday. We talked about it for about 15 minutes. I mentioned it in my opener a bit, but the curious case of what's going on at San Joaquin Memorial. I know you and I reiterated on your show that we're always rooting for high school kids. We're never going to, you know, talk down to high school kids because they're young. They're 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. But it's just very interesting what happened at San Joaquin Memorial with Jalen Patterson just leaving school, got hurt, and for whatever reason, many reasons, decided to leave school. Many facets to this. It could be a 30 for 30 documentary maybe on ESPN, but just kind of summarize what you're hearing. And again, you know, we always root for high school kids, but it was just a curious thing that happened at San Joaquin Memorial.
Yeah, it was just kind of one bad luck thing after another. They thought CJ was going to be eligible, and then he wasn't, and that only became a reality, I think, the week of Clovis North, from what I'm told. And then, you know, Tommy Nix was a really good receiver that was working out with Memorial in July, and then he wasn't. You know, then he's at Clovis East again, and it was kind of weird how I think Memorial portrayed this on social media. They posted CJ and Tommy, so they gave off the impression, you know, that we're going to have these receivers, and I think Memorial fully thought they were going to have those guys, but this was just a tough luck season for Memorial because so many players transferred out. Tommy Nix transferred out, and he's an outstanding young man for Clovis East. I think he's their best receiver when it comes to the stats this year. You also had Jordan Black Glass, a starting corner, transfer out to Hanford, and he's doing good things for the Bullpups. You had the Razzo brothers, three of them move from Memorial to Clovis East, which is what their home school is. You had, there's one more I'm forgetting right now, Landon Nesbitt. He was a good corner for that defense last year at Memorial. He's at Clovis East now, making their defense better. So if you look at all the transfers that left Memorial, that is tough to deal with. It really is. If you put all the guys in the Valley that played at Memorial, so Harold Duvall, Tommy Nix, or Jordan Black, there's more guys, the Razos. This is a really good Memorial team.
Yeah, that's a formidable team.
Yeah, so how can you really prepare for that if you're ghosting, right? That's really tough to prepare for. It kind of is, you know, a case of the transfer portal giveth and the transfer portal taketh. And so this is just a down year for Memorial. As far as what happened to Jalen Patterson, I still have not really heard a solid reason why he left. And it kind of does put the coaching staff in a bit of a pickle because, you know, you had this quarterback that was your only quarterback on roster. You told other quarterbacks that were expected to step up from last year, say, okay, you guys got to step back now because we got this kid coming from L.A. He plays two games. He hurts his hand against Central on a fluke play where as he scores a touchdown, he slices his hand open on a Central player's helmet. And he has to leave the game. And he doesn't come back the next week. And then the week after that, he leaves. He gets pulled out. And so what Ghostin told me was, he was not told by the family that Patterson was leaving. It was just one day he was there, and the next day Jalen was not there. And so there is really a lot of still gray area. You hear stories, but you don't know what's truth and what's fiction. And so I think I'm going to continue to dig more into the details before I get a real solid answer that I can give on the air.
Yeah, and San Joaquin Memorial, they're a high-profile program, obviously. And, you know, it's a cautionary tale. And it seems like there's just a lot of factors, like a communication among other things as well. So, anyway, great job by you, Gabe. It was a lot of fun last night. I was happy to, you know, you were able to broadcast a game for your alma mater, even though Clovis West looked really strong against them. But go Dogs tonight, right? Go Dogs against Arizona State.
Yeah, that game starting really late, by the way. 7:40 now.
Ooh,
they moved it back. So I do think Fresno State has a lot to prove tonight. I don't care what you say about Eastern Washington. You can try and make up that they are this great team, but let's be honest. They won three games last year at the FCS level, and they lost by 25 to North Dakota State week one. So if you think that team is good, well, then what's Fresno State by only beating them by three in double OT? This is a big chance for Fresno State to prove that they are legit, that they can run the table. And I'm hoping that, you know, as a Bulldog fan, everyone knows they have that one bad game in them. I'm hoping that last week was that bad game, because if they play like they did last week, they're not going to leave Arizona with the win.
No, I agree. I'm looking forward to the game tonight. Good job by you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Paul. I hope the Dogs win, though. I mean, I just want the best for them. If they want to have an undefeated season, they got to have high expectations. They got to hold themselves to a high standard, and that high standard was not met last Saturday.
I believe they'll come back in that one. All right. Coming up after the break, Kenny Palinelli, head coach of Madera on 1430 ESPN. Sometimes it's tough to talk about the negative things goes on in high school sports, but you can always turn negatives into positives, right? I like to say positive vibes only on my show, but that situation that's going on at San Joaquin Memorial, it is an interesting one. In a couple years, we may mention it a few times, but I don't have much of a doubt that San Joaquin Memorial, they'll right the ship. They'll get it going again. Coach Gostin knows what he's doing. So, anyway, just an interesting situation happened at San Joaquin Memorial, but good stuff is going on in Madera. They defeated Del Oro last night, 49-0 at home. Shut out Madera South in the rivalry game the week before. We got Coach Kenny Palinelli on right now. They got a bye week before heading to CMAC. So, Coach, always great to wake up on a Saturday morning and hang out with your coaching staff and watch film after a win, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always better after a win than a loss, for sure.
So last night, What was clicking for you guys? I believe you guys were up 42-0, but what was clicking for you guys in that first half?
You know, just offensively, I think we've just been really firing on all cylinders the last couple weeks. And honestly, our run game is where we make our money. Like I said, I think our offensive line is one of the better ones in the Valley. And you know, they've been playing really well. It's a really good unit. They play really well together. They trust each other, and we move the ball. And we got some backs behind them that can eat up some yards. So,
who are some standouts? Who is running the rock for you guys really well last night?
So we have Daniel Mendez. He's our starting running back, and we kind of have like a three-headed monster: Daniel Mendez, Zach Prince, and Blake Burton that all get in there and run the ball for us. And they all do an excellent job, and obviously behind that offensive line, it's a pretty good deal for us. So we're excited about all those guys.
Has your offensive mindset changed in the last few years? You know, I saw you play a couple years ago, but you guys still run the same type of offense, or what type of offense are you running now?
Yeah, we're still spread based. You know, we're a zone and gap scheme team. We like to spread the ball around, you know, everywhere. I mean, just because we've been running the ball doesn't mean that, you know, we can't, you know, throw it. We throw the ball as well. But, you know, lately in the run game, we've been getting, you know, lighter boxes. And so we try to take advantage of that. If the box is light, then we're going to run the ball. And if the box is heavy, then we'll pass the ball. And so I think our screen game is really good, and we run a lot of RPO stuff. And so, you know, we try to stress the defense 53.5 yards.
Nothing like a good screenplay, right? Like you set it up. Yeah. You're like, hey, it's gonna work on this play. So yeah, talk about some of your screenplays and what's that like when you're calling the offense, right?
Yes,
coach. Yeah. So what's it like when you're like, hey, this screenplay is gonna work? I'm gonna run this thing right now.
Well, I think it a lot of it has to do with numbers, and I think our kids do a pretty good job of recognizing that. Our quarterback does. You know, we try to put ourselves in favorable matchups. And then, one thing I'll say is our receivers are really, really bought in on blocking, and those guys have really bought in on, you know, blocking for each other. And, you know, it's kind of a part of the game that doesn't get glorified very much, but it's something that we glorify quite a bit in our program. We almost glorify pancakes at the receiver position more than touchdowns, and they do a really good job of buying into that. So our kids are really out there trying to block for each other. They love each other, and it's fun to watch on Friday nights. And I think that's what really makes our spring game great.
And let's go back a little bit to that Madera South game, the rivalry game. Was that just another case of your players absolutely stepping up and everything clicking?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I would just say it was a kind of unique experience. You know, we were playing the first time ever over there at Madera South, and so our kids were fired up about that. There was a lot of, like, talk before the game. You know, we didn't care. I mean, we'll line it up anywhere. I don't care where we play. It was never my preference to always play the game here at our stadium. I mean, we're fine going wherever. I mean, what we did, and I thought it was really cool, is we did our normal pregame routine. We stayed here on our campus the whole entire time, just like it was a home game for us. And we suited up like Clemson and all full gear, helmets on, everything, got on the bus, walked off the bus and rolled out onto the field and absolutely, you know, dominated that game. And I was really proud of our kids, the way they fought, man. So
that is awesome. And I did, that's funny that you should mention that. I definitely wanted to ask you about your uniform combinations this year. So how many different combinations, and do you guys switch it up at all from the last couple of years?
You know, we have the same uniforms, but the boys, you know, I let the senior boys pick every week, and whatever they want to go with, that's what we're going with. So I tell the boys Monday through Thursday is my day. When it comes to Friday, that's their day. And so they get to choose their outfit and what they want to wear. And that's their payday. My work week's Monday through Thursday, and then we roll the balls out on Friday and let the boys do their thing.
And you got to have that coyote blue, that Madera blue that I love to see out there. Is there any black at all? The kids really enjoy black these days. Any black in the uniforms?
So, yeah, I mean, they go black. Last night we had a few black undershirts, black leggings with the black spat. We don't actually have black jerseys. The other two schools in Madera do.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're looking – we get new jerseys next year, so we're looking to do like an all-gray alternate because we're blue, royal blue, white, and gray. So you'll probably see some new threads next year, and we're pretty excited about that. It's going to be pretty sweet.
Your defense, like I mentioned, has pitched a shutout the last two games. What's the camaraderie? And like you said, these guys love to play for each other. They love to block for each other. But defensively, you know, they just not want to let each other down. What's the mentality of your defense?
I think they just fly around. You know, they understand the scheme, so they can play kind of, you know, they don't have to think a lot. They're just flying around, and they run around with violent intent. They want to hit people. And so I think when you have that kind of mindset on a defense, and the leaders of our defense kind of embody that, everyone else kind of falls in line. And, you know, we haven't been perfect the last 5 weeks, but I think we're getting better every week, and the mistakes are becoming less. And so anytime you can free your mind and let the kids just go play and run around fast, good things happen for us defensively.
Talking with Coach Kenny Pelinet.
My DC as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
My DC, Steve Contreras, has done a hell of a job with those guys. And, you know, I'm super proud of him and the work he's put in with those guys, and it's coming to fruition this year. So
that's awesome. You got to give love to your assistant coaches, who's they grind just as much as a head coach, if not more sometimes, getting after it and in the video room as well. Coach Pelinet, I'm just curious, what's the strangest way anybody's ever pronounced your name? You know, like you had a game and just the PA announcer absolutely butchered your name.
You know what? The worst I've ever heard was my sixth grade football coach. He actually called – he could not say my last name. He just called me Potted Jelly. So I think that's probably the worst. I mean, most people mess it up, but it's not that bad. They're pretty close. Potted Jelly is definitely the worst I've ever had.
But your sixth grade coach was serious? Like, he literally thought that was your name? Like, not a nickname, but that he thought that was how you say your last name.
No, like, legitimately, he's like, I'm not even trying to say that. You're Pot of Jelly.
Why not just KP?
I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
all right.
Well, that's why I went to that, KP. The day I became a teacher at Madera High and I realized that Mr. Polinelli wasn't going to work for most kids, Coach KP just kind of stuck with me.
Yeah, that's easy. That's the way to go. That is awesome. You know, you and I were able to connect a little bit before the season and talk about your team. But has the 4-1 start for you guys, has it exceeded you and your staff's expectations? Or like, yeah, I knew we could do it, and we just went out and won 4 football games?
I would say it validated our expectations. This start did. We had high expectations for this group. They put in a lot of work. And we felt really good about the team going into the year. But, again, you know, you never know till you start playing real games. And so, you know, we scrimmaged Hanford, and I thought we had a pretty good showing against those guys in our scrimmage. And I know they're a really good team. And after that game, I was pretty excited to get the season rolling, because I thought, hey, you know, we did some pretty good things against those guys. I think that we're going to be just fine offensively and defensively. And I think that's just – it's more just a validation of what we thought. And I'm happy the kids are playing confidently and playing for each other. And I think we've seen some success because of that.
And you open up the season with that win against Torres. That was a really good win, and then beat Selma. And then that Kerman game, you guys were up in that one, and Kerman was able to come back. Coach Damon Jenkins does a really good job there. But, Coach, how many guys on your roster this season? I know, you know, a lot of schools don't have freshman team anymore, just JV and varsity. Sometimes freshmen get lost on JV. But how many total kids on your varsity team this year?
I have 50 total kids on my varsity team.
That's a great number, right? I mean, that probably makes you really, really happy for the future.
Yeah. We have one freshman up on varsity right now, and we're starting a few sophomores. And so, I think we have a pretty good mix. We also have a lot of seniors too. I have like 21 seniors, but not all of them play. You know, I would say throughout both offense and defense, we have a really, really good mix of young and senior-led talent. So
you guys have a bye week before you're going to play Bullard. I want to talk about it in just a second. But how do you and your staff, and I suppose a lot of the coaches up and down the Central section, how do you guys take advantage of that bye week? Are you breaking down film with the guys? Are you just checking in with them a little bit more personally? What do you guys normally do during your bye week?
One of the things we try to do is kind of get their mind off of football a little bit, because the season can be a grind. And so we usually take them out and do something fun with them during this bye week, at least one day where we do like a team bonding fun deal. In the past, like, we've gone bowling as a team and just relaxed and had a little fun, get our mind off of football for a day. But also during the bye week, you want to take advantage of the extra prep time too. And so I think it's a less physical week. It's a more mental week, like you said, watching film and walking through stuff on the field and making sure we understand what we're trying to do. And, you know, obviously, you know, trying to heal our bodies as we get prepared to go through this gauntlet that's a CMAC every year for us. So,
well, I know you're a 3-sport star at Madera. You mentioned bowling. How's your bowling game? Are you a 200 guy? You have a 150 guy? How's your bowling game?
I'm below 150 most of the time. I have the potential to get up above 150, but it's very rare. Very rare.
Do you throw a straight ball, or you try to put a little curve in it? You try to power it up, power it.
No, I think I can do both. I throw the curve most of the time, but if it's just a single pin, I'm throwing the straight ball to get that thing down.
I don't know what
I'm doing, honestly. And honestly, at some point, I just try to hit the miles per hour, see how fast I can throw a 16-pounder.
That's what I envisioned with you, just trying to blast that final pin and maybe, you know, knock it out back in the lane. That's awesome. Talking to Coach KP at Madera. All right, so we mentioned your bye week, and then you start that gauntlet that is the CMAC. You open up with Bullard. Gosh, look at those Knights, right? Got to be impressed with them. They don't have as much talent as they had the last couple of years. But, you know, they hung tough with Clovis West. They hung tough with Clovis, two track teams. What do you think about Bullard and the CMAC in general this season?
Well, I mean, specifically, you know, talking about Bullard, our first opponent, they might be the best 1-4 team I've ever seen on film. They play really hard. They've gotten better every week. I mean, you watch their films every single week. You know, Darnie's got those guys playing really, really hard. They're getting better. They're more disciplined every week. And I think they're very talented up front, offensively and defensive line wise. Those kids play really, really hard. And that back number seven, I'm not sure what his name is, but he's a really, really dynamic player. And, you know, Stubblefield's kind of a bruiser. They got a really good 1-2 punch with those guys. And so we know it's a tall task at hand, and we're excited to get into the CMAC and really see if we can make some moves.
So your schedule is Bullard at home, if I'm not mistaken, San Joaquin Memorial away, Sanger at home, Edison away, and Justin Garza away. So just looking forward a little bit. I know that Sanger, by all indications, looks like the team to beat in the CMAC. You know, do you look forward to those types of games? You know, we know how hard Sanger hits, and we know their type of offense. Do you, you know, as a coach, or maybe even talking to some of the players, like those types of games where you know you're going to hit somebody on every play, it's going to be a physical type of game. Do you and your team, do you guys really enjoy those games and look forward to those games?
Yeah, those are lunch pail and hard hat games, man. You got to bring it every play. There's going to be some flashy plays here and there, but most of it's just going to be down home, dirty, you know, mano-a-mano football in the trenches, and those are the type of games that, you know, are a lot of fun, but they're also very grinding as well. So it's fun to see what kind of team you have, see if they're ready for that kind of football.
All right. This is, you had your game last night against Del Oro, so Friday night lights are over with. Now we got Saturday in college and the NFL on Sunday. Who are your teams in college? Who do you root for?
Well, I played at UTEP, so I always root for them. They're not very good most of the time. I always root for the hometown dogs, of course. So I've been following them, and I just enjoy watching good college football games. I'm a big Sarkisian fan, so I like to watch Texas play, and Lincoln Riley as well. Those guys are guys that I look up to as a coach, and, you know, offensive scheme-wise, they do some really, really dynamic things. And so I always try to catch those games and make sure I'm watching them.
Well, now Colorado is must-watch football, isn't it, with Coach Prime? I mean, is this guy just changing the landscape of college football forever? What do you think about Deion Sanders in Colorado?
I mean, I love it. I think it's definitely fun to watch. He has a certain way he's going about stuff, and I think, you know, he's going to kind of change the landscape of college football. It'll be interesting to see how long he stays at Colorado, because I know those big checks are going to be coming in from, you know, eventually he'll be at the SEC level, I would assume. Because, man, he just does a really good job of promoting his brand and getting guys to play for him. They believe in him, and obviously they got some really good players. I'm very surprised at how good his son is at quarterback, man. He's been really impressive so far this year. So I'm excited to see him play a little bit, you know, better competition. I think after this week, next week when they play Oregon, we'll find out really who, you know, what kind of team they have and see if they're ready for that kind of environment. I believe they're playing in Eugene as well, so. That'll be a hostile environment. That's a big time stage, and if he can do it on that stage and those guys can perform well, I think you could say Colorado's probably arrived as a pretty good team. So.
I agree. It's entertaining. That's for darn sure. Coach KP, always fun to catch up with you. Congrats on the 4-1 season so far, and we'll definitely talk in the future. And have fun the rest of the day and the rest of the weekend, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for covering high school sports. We really appreciate all you guys do. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, great talk with Coach Kenny Palinelli of Madera. Coming up after the break, we're talking more high school football with Trevor Horn of Garces High, talking about the landscape of Bakersfield, and much, much more coming up on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
You found us here at 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. 2 hours of pure high school talk up and down the Central section, the Central Valley, down to Bakersfield and the coast as well. Just had a really good conversation with Coach Kenny Palinelli of Madera. They are 4-1. Does a really good job there. If you miss any part of the show or any shows in general here on 1430 ESPN, you could go to the website, 1430ESPNFresno.com, go to podcast, and under the tab there, you can listen to any back episodes that you want. We love high school sports here on 1430 ESPN. I highlight the kids and the great teams everywhere It's a ton and ton of fun to do this for sure. All right, we're going to bring on now Trevor Horn. He's the assistant athletic director at Garces, also the sports information director. Covered preps for the Sacramento Bee, Bakersfield, Californian. Anything else you want me to add to that, Trevor? I know, you know, I mean, there's just tons of stuff more that I could have said about you, but due to, you know, time constraints, I got to cut it down to about one-tenth of the things that you are.
I'm also the campus director of communications.
And all-around good guy?
I'm okay. Depends on who you ask on the given day.
Well, I mean, am I in – I know you have a young son, 18 months old. I mean, and we got to schedule everything around nap time, right? Is this kind of around nap time? Is this a good time to talk?
I literally got out of his room at 10:40 after putting him down for his daily nap. And Mama's at lunch with her family, so I'm home watching the baby on the baby monitor.
And no better time to talk about high school sports up and down the Central section, buddy. With your guy, right? Your guy, Paul Metters, me.
Yeah, you. Come on, brother. Let's talk.
Let's talk. All right, so Garces, you guys are playing tonight, right? You're playing at 6:30. You're playing Menachie.
Correct.
Is at Strathmore, is that right? What's up with that? Why at Strathmore?
I don't know the exact details. I just know that Granite Hills Stadium is either under construction or can't house everybody. So Menachie's playing their home games at Strathmore. So we're at Strathmore tonight. Never been to Strathmore. Actually kind of excited about it. Small school football stadium. We've been asking our fans to bring lawn chairs all week because that's what we've been instructed by their AD, Mark Salazar, because it's a small bleachers. If you guys ever been up to Hatchby on the roadside, to me it kind of feels that's what it's going to look like. So it'll be interesting when we get up there tonight.
Well, I've been to Strathmore many times when I competed in high school for Emmanuel High School. Strathmore was in our league. So for the 4 years that I played sports there, we went to Strathmore plenty of times. So, yeah, it's at that time, honestly, there was only one stop sign in the entire town. So I'm curious if they have stop lights now.
Stop sign.
Oh,
wow. Okay, so you did say sign.
Correct. Stop sign. Four-way stop.
Not
so light. We'll see.
You said sign.
I did. So let me know. Okay, let me know about that. So how would you gauge Garces's football season so far? You guys are 1-3. You know, you had that tough game against Clovis to open this season. So where are you guys right now this season?
I love Coach Gola's mind frame that it takes what it takes. We had one possession losses at home against Paraclete and Moore Park, two teams that are still undefeated in the southern section. We had a lead against Moore Park with 2:11 left. We had an 8-point lead. We allowed them to come back. We extended their drives with penalties and mental mistakes. Same thing with Paraclete. We scored on the opening drive, didn't tie the game back up at 14 until 2:11 left, allowed them to come back and beat us with 33 seconds left. So it's a little mental mistakes that were really kind of hindering. And I know you guys, both you and Gabe, both watched our game against Clovis. There's talent. We have a good mixture of seniors, juniors, a lot of sophomores, and even one freshman on the varsity team this year. We turned it around last week against a very good, very, very good Thousand Oaks team. Played a great full 48 minutes, limited the mistakes, no personal fouls, beat them 31-13, all 31 points. I was just telling Gabe this off air. All 31 points were scored by sophomores. You talk about quarterback Gunter Gola, threw for a touchdown, 76 yards to another sophomore, Michael Smith. Ricky Johnson, sophomore running back, scored two touchdowns on the ground. And then Sammy Gonzalez, our kicker, was 4-for-4 on PATs and kicked a 26-yarder. So, I mean, you talk about we have great seniors in Cage Williams, who actually will be out tonight, concussion protocol. He'll be ready to go against Liberty in 2 weeks. Ian Harrison has been great, 11 catches, played really well in the secondary. Nate Wallace, another guy that's a wide receiver DB for us, seniors. We have three linemen that are seniors. But there is a lot of youth on the team too. So it's one of those things where I think it's just a growing curve. And, you know, you want to lose those kind of games in August and September, knowing that you're going to be more game ready come league in October and then hopefully deep into the playoffs if we're fortunate enough this year.
Well, you play in the Southwest Yosemite River League, and the league is it's absolutely loaded. You could almost compare it to the track, and you probably could, right? So there's Frontier, Liberty of Bakersfield, Stockdale, Centennial, and you guys.
I'm going to say the track is better this year. I think top to bottom, you know, You saw Buchanan really play Liberty well a week ago, and Buchanan had a great game last night, if I recall, or two nights ago. So I truly do think that you have they beat Memorial 31-3.
Yeah, 31-3, yeah.
So I think top to bottom, the track is better than the River League this year. But I think any given night, you know, teams are going to come at it. And so I think that's what's huge. I mean, is there really a bigger game in Central Section this year than 2 weeks at La Monica? No, there's not. That Northeast game is going to be phenomenal. So I think the track kind of takes it this year. But, you know, you look at Liberty, you know, they put a beat down last night on Central. I mean, they just ran right down. I think I watched the majority of the first half, a little bit of the third quarter before I fell asleep. But it was, I mean, they just ran it right down their throats, and they just, Central didn't really have an answer for them defensively. I think Central's a really good team. I think they're kind of like us, where they're young and very talented. But, you know, Liberty showed why they're the top team in Bakersfield, in Kern County, and top three in the section right now.
Talking with Trevor Horn, assistant athletic director at Garces, among many other things. So the 35-30 Liberty win over Buchanan, and then you just mentioned the Liberty 35-7 win over Central. So, you know, I mean, does that say more about Buchanan kind of and Central, or say more about Liberty?
That Liberty Buchanan game is such a rivalry game now between the regular season and the playoff matches they've had over the last 8 years. And I think what you get is you get this, like, both teams get up for that game. And I think they know each other so well. The coaching staffs know each other so well that I think that you just scheme, and you'll always have a close game between those two, just the way it is. But I think what you saw of Liberty last night was a team very indicative of being able to run the ball well, huge own line up front. You've got a guy like Jace Nixon, who has gone from quarterback to tight end because college coaches have said that he's a better prospect at tight end than he is at quarterback, and a seasoned quarterback in Cole O'Brien, and a very good defense. Brock Wattenberger might have had the best game of the night last night, shutting down Central's receivers last night. So Liberty is, you know, that's going to be a tough test come 2 weeks for our Garces Rams. Really tough test, because Liberty, they're not slowing down. Yeah, they have a loss, but it was to a very good Santa Margarita team. But are they the number one team in the section anymore? Not after last night. No way.
Well, yeah, I would
have proved it with that huge, huge win over Jay Sarah. You get a Trinity win, you're always in a good spot, especially a team that was ranked number 10 in the state. That's a huge win for the Broncos last night.
Were you surprised by that? Because I had eyeballs on Clovis North all year, and I'm like, that's not an upset. They match up really well against them. Guys down at Bakersfield, some of the guys that you talked to or coaches, were you guys shocked by that score? Or is that like, yeah, I could see that definitely?
Well, the only person I really talked to last night was our athletic director, Eric Coleman, who used to coach football at Jay Sarah. And he went, is Clovis North really that good this year? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. I mean, you look at Santa Margarita, you know, you talk about top to bottom. It goes, you know, Bosco and or Modern Day.
Yeah.
Orange Lutheran, 3 in that league. And then Jay Sarah, 4. Santa Margarita, probably 5. So you kind of look at that, and still any of those 5 teams could probably beat all but maybe 2 teams in the entire state, maybe 15, 20 teams in the country, right? So that's a huge – so when you look at it at that scale and how tough that league is and what they have to do to be able to do in August, September to play that gauntlet against each other in October, yeah, that's a huge win for the Broncos. So is that an upset right now? Maybe in the eyes outside of the Central Valley.
Yeah.
But I think what the Broncos did last night kind of solidifies, hey, they're here to play. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do in the track.
Absolutely. I want to talk about the landscape of high school football in Bakersfield. Just kind of remind me and our listeners, too, about, you know, is there an open enrollment there in Bakersfield? What does that look like? How does that work?
There's a caveat there. So the school cannot be the public schools. And we're talking about the 19 public schools in Bakersfield. Plus you add in Arvin, that's in the Kern High School District. You add in Shafter, that's in the Kern High School District. So as long as the school isn't over their capacity, they can take open enrollment for incoming freshmen. So you can live in the Foothill District and choose to go to Frontier. In the Frontier District, to go to North as long as there's space there. So there is an open enrollment, but it is only for incoming freshmen. That's been in place for, man, I want to say maybe 8 years now.
Okay.
So there is an open enrollment within the current high school district.
So how has Liberty football risen to be the prominent program down in Bakersfield, if you agree with that statement? You know, obviously we think about Bakersfield High and their tradition.
Three section championships and a state championship and another state title appearance in the last 6 years. Yeah, I mean, that kind of, and you add in that 2016 win, which was Brian Nixon win over Clovis for the D1 title, Nixon's first, and now he's got four. I mean, I think the proof is in the pudding that people want to send their sons to a winning program, and I think that manifests it, and then you have a great coaching staff, you know, and it's hard to argue with people wanting to go and play for a team that is annually the top team in town over the last half decade or more.
Talking with Trevor Horn from Garces Memorial. All right, so we talked about how good Clovis North is this year. We know Liberty's pedigree and what they bring to the table every year, and you know that impressive win over Central last night. Do you think Clovis Unified, and you're well familiar with Clovis Unified as well, do you think the current model they have, you talk about the open enrollment down in Kern County, the model that Clovis Unified has now with different zonings and all that, and now they're talking about, you know, a new Clovis Unified school. Do you think that model is going to produce, you know, football championships? We know how good Clovis North is. They got a really good chance. But it's been a while since a Clovis Unified school has won a D1 title.
Well, I think the proof is in the pudding. The feeder schools, having kids in the same program from elementary school moving up, benefits everybody. You have continuity. You have it's easier to coach the scheme if the kids have known it for years and years and years. Whereas here in Bakersfield, there are no quote-unquote feeder schools. The junior highs don't have programs. What they have is they have different entities that have football players, and usually they're from the same kind of pockets of town, but they're not direct feeders into each high school because the junior highs don't directly correlate into the high school, because the district here for high schools in Kern County is the Kern High School District. So it's high school only. It's not the Clovis Unified, where from kindergarten to 12th grade, it's under the same umbrella. There's different entities for the elementary schools in town, for the junior highs in town. There's different North Elementary, you know, you have North School District. You have so many different Panama and Buena Vista school districts that handle K-8, and then they change a new district when they get to high school here. So I think that's the biggest difference with Clovis Unified, is you have those, you know, currently five high schools, and it looks like a sixth one coming soon. You know, they can work within that same system. Am I incorrect there? And I think that's a benefit.
No, that's absolutely it. Yeah, I mean, the feeder programs are all the way through. You know, Alta Sierra feeds into Buchanan. Yeah. So what you're saying is,
how else do you get Troy Gloss into forwards? You know, obviously he and Corey Anderson, from what I've been told, have a long-standing friendship there, and so that may have helped out too. But you know, Troy Gloss isn't leaving, you know, the beaches in San Diego for a run-of-the-mill program. He's going to take over perennial state power.
Absolutely. But, yeah, well, what I'm getting at, though, with Bakersfield schools, so you're saying the junior highs don't have tackle football, so let's say, you know, the Alta Sierra feeds into Buchanan. There's nothing like that in the Bakersfield area.
No, there's youth football programs, and they do a great job in town. They've got three different ones in town, and they all do a great job, but they don't directly associate with one high school, with one program, with a junior high or an elementary school. They're all sole separate entities outside of the academic world.
Okay, got it.
High school.
Got it. Trev, I want to explore this topic a little bit. Now, you being at Garces Memorial, a private school, you know, is the model sustainable for private schools to keep up football program, you know, say, you know, what's going on at San Joaquin Memorial, that type of model where you're relying on transfers and different people to come in and you don't know who's necessarily going to come from year to year? Is that model sustainable with the private sector here in the Central Valley?
Of course, you just can't compare it to that in the Bay Area and definitely down in the southern section. It's just not a model that's the same. they have 27 million people that they can pick and choose from that can come into their school. You know, Mater Dei and St. John Bosco do such a great job of being able to get kids from the Inland Empire. And so you're talking about families willing to drive an hour. People don't really do that in the Central Valley. So, you know, you've got, what, four prominent football, five, six now? Okay. You got in St. Joe's and Mission Prep. Mission Prep's playing very well this year. I mean, you add in Emmanuel, seven private high schools, and really, so it's not a lot. And you think about the population in Kern County is just under a million. Not, just do the math. The numbers aren't there. We don't have, you know, we've got three feeder schools, if you will, three Catholic elementary junior highs that do necessarily feed in. We yield about 90% of them. There was only 98 eighth graders in our three schools here in Bakersfield, uh-huh. Three Catholic junior highs. Well, it's not really, K through eight schools. And so, you know, we had a freshman class of 150, our largest freshman class at Garces in more than a decade. You do the math, we have to rely on public school eighth graders coming in as well.
Got it.
So, you know, that's the biggest thing is that, you know, you're just kind of, you know, seeing who wants to come here. We put the information out and the families contact us. We get them in the room. They talk to Ms. Abbott, our admissions director, and she gets them in line and, you know, figures out all their finances, you know. And, you know, we don't have athletic scholarships at Garces. We are a needs-based institution. We try to help out every family individually within their finances and trying to find a package that works best for them. But as we like to say, you know, everybody's got a skin in the game at Garces. Nobody comes to school for free. It's, you know, we consider it a privilege to be able to give them the education. We have the block schedule that mirrors the college landscape in academics. So we find our students who are 100% graduation rate over the last 10 years, when they move on to college, it's so much easier for them because they've been built with the block schedule model where they don't go to the same classes every day. It's every other day. So, everybody's got a skin in the game for us. And so I think that's the other thing too, is that a lot of people see the model down in Southern California and go, oh, I just want to go there and get an athletic scholarship. That doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking with Trevor Horn, Garces Memorial. Okay. So got a couple more minutes here. I got two more questions for you. You know what, you know, I just think about the private schools again, and, you know, the Memorials or the Emmanuels or the Garces, and, you know, is it okay sometimes for these programs? Again, we're not SoCal. You just laid it out perfectly for us. But is it okay for some programs to say, hey, I don't want to win at the highest level, Bakersfield Christian too. I don't want to win at the highest level. What's wrong with being a really strong D3 program in any sports? You know, sometimes, you know, coaches like, oh, I want the highest levels. Is there, you know, sometimes a balance needed in those types of thought processes?
We want to be the best at everything we do all the time, regardless of division. And with the current model for the central section, it's one of those things where, you know, we're a base two model for team for football. Last 2 years we've gone D1 because even though, you know, we've had a 4-6 record last year, we played an unbelievably, we had two state champs on our schedule last year. We had Los Alamitos that finished in the top 10 in the state on our schedule last year. So, you know, it's one of those things where we're never going to say, oh, we don't want to do this or we don't want to do that because that's too tough. We play what we have to play. And we're going to have lean years and then we're going to have great years. So, like, our cross-country team, you know, we're rebuilding that team back up from, you know, a lean couple of years. And now the girls are top four in the central section in Division Five, whereas we have a girls' tennis team that's won the back, you know, last two Division One championships and have a great chance to do it again this year. But that's because we've had this group of girls that have come in and really been dominating for us. So it just all depends on the class we have coming in and the kids on campus, and, you know, and we just ask them to play their best and see where it takes us.
And I absolutely
think it's a pretty good job. On average, we have 3 to 4 section championships annually over the last 5 years. I think the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, great stuff, Trev. All right, so we can't leave one of our conversations without talking about food. You and I have shared a couple meals together. Yeah, right.
You asked me about this last night, and it was not a tough.
Oh, not tough. All right. Yeah, you actually gave a really quick answer. You did. All right, so best meal you've ever had. What do you got?
Hands down, on our honeymoon 7 years ago. It was Big Mama's Fish House on the North Shore of Maui. It's that place is just phenomenal. That is a five-star restaurant without being called a five-star restaurant. The fish that they serve is caught that morning and on the menu is changed every day because they tell you who caught it, where they caught it, and what they used to catch the fish. So I had a beautiful mahi-mahi. It was a crusted mahi-mahi, and then my wife has an allergic reaction to whitefish, so she tries to steer clear. She ordered the lobster there. It's from the Tristan Islands, and the Tristan Islands only export their lobster to like four places in the entire world. So, I mean, it was just phenomenal. It's right on the water. It's open air. It's beautiful. It was just an absolutely incredible meal. I wanted a cup of coffee with my dessert. They brought me out one of those little tiny French presses, the single serve French presses. And I just thought that was just an incredible option to give to, you know, your customers. So hands down, best.
Big Mama's Fish House. There it is. Big Mama's Fish House. Trevor Horn, best meal he's ever had. All right, my friend. Always love catching up with you. You're doing great things on Bakersfield. You're one of my contact guys. Love to talk to you. Love you. And we'll talk
Before
to you soon, my friend.
Before I let you go, I'm going to say it again. I want to say one more thing. Gabe is my favorite follow for high school football in the Central section right now. He's doing an incredible job, and I think people continue to need to understand a gem that you guys have in Gabe. So kudos to you, my friend. You too, Paul. Love you. But Gabe's got you on the Twitter right now.
Well, yeah, I got another job. I think people out there that know me know I'm a full-time teacher. So, man, I would love to dedicate my whole life and my time to high school sports. But, yeah, I got to get my medical insurance and all that fun stuff taken care of. But always great to talk to you.
You guys got a gem. Yeah, you guys got a gem, Gabe, up there. Be well. I enjoy the show, man. You guys have a great one.
You bet. I'll talk to you later. All right. Coming up after the break, we got Central Valley Christian in the house, Coach Mason Hughes, running back Bryson Donaldson on 1430 ESPN. Welcome. Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Meaders, live here at First String Sports. You guys know where it is, on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra. This is the bottom of hour number two. Bring it on, Central Valley star running back Bryson Donaldson and Coach Mason Hughes last night. They defeated Mission Oak. What was the final? 64-38. Lots of points in that one. Yeah. We're going to be sure to talk about that game. But Donaldson, one of the top running backs, not only in the Central section, but in the state, has offers from Fresno State, Boise State. So he recently took an official visit there. Colorado State, Washington State, and much, much more. Cavs are currently 4-1. Well, there it is. I got wrote in my notes. I didn't turn the page. 64-38. Well over 300 rushing yards last night and six total TDs. First of all, guys, thanks for driving, man, from Visalia, right? All the way from Visalia to Kingsburg to here in Fresno, right? Was that the course?
Well, we didn't stop. I don't need to stop in Kingsburg anymore. I'm in Visalia.
You did move to Visalia. Right. My bad. All right. Did you stop for a coffee?
No. We just waved. Yeah. Just waved at Kingsburg.
Just waved at Kingsburg? Yeah. And you guys had a late game last night, a long game, right? When you're scoring that many points, there's gonna be a lot of whistles, a lot of time stoppage. Excuse me. But yeah, Coach Hughes, I'm excited to talk with Bryson. But Coach Hughes, talk about the game in general, how it flowed. Obviously Bryson had a phenomenal running game as well. But talk about that game in general.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of points. I think we set the tone early and scored a lot early, and they have two really explosive players. Kenny Jackson is a good receiver, and their quarterback's just really hard to tackle, and so it just kind of gave us some fits the whole night, and we got up pretty big, but they Mission Oaks, they're gonna fight, it's on their home turf, and they got back in the game, and and then their kind of momentum went their way a little bit, and I don't think our team really ever felt that we couldn't move the ball. And that's kind of what Bryson brings to us a little bit. We have a lot of confidence that we're going to be able to score. And that's kind of how the game went, which has been pretty much all our games this year, is us scoring a lot of points, us giving up probably more points than I'm used to giving up, but we're super young on defense. And so, you know, Bryce and I were just talking on the way up here, you know, that's going to happen, you know, and we just got to understand that and understand the team we are, you know. In the last few years that didn't happen. Our defense was, I think, the strength of our team. And so we could, you know, just count on getting stops, and it just hasn't happened yet, you know. But it's not to say our kids aren't playing really hard. You know, those young guys are getting better. Like we were just talking, you know, we're way better on defense than we were week one, you know. And so, and I think we're way better on offense too, actually. And so, you know, it's okay to. I remember Nick Saban saying this one time. You know, he's like a winning games 9-6, 9-6, 17-10, and then all of a sudden they're winning games like 42-35, you know. And he was talking on the podium just about how, you know, the game has changed. You're not going to be able to do that in the old school anymore, you know, with the spread offenses. And I think that started to filter into high school. You know, there's only one Clovis North, right? Like everybody else is spread. And, yeah. And you know, that's just the way the game goes, you know. And so I think, you know, as a defensive person, sometimes that's hard. And we got to understand, like, it's not a loss when you give up points. You know, it's a loss when you lose.
But you got a guy sitting to your right and my left who's been cooking all season. Oh, yeah. This year and last year as well. So, you know, what does this guy, what does Bryson Donaldson bring to the table every game?
Oh, he's going to play really hard. He's super competitive. You know, I think he's probably hardest on himself. You know, when he doesn't score, he's ticked off, you know, and even on a 20-yard run, you know, which most kids would be stoked, you know. He's bummed that he's mad that he didn't score, you know. He didn't break the tackle, and I think that's because he's used to doing that, you know. And I mean, there's so many plays, you know. Even I mean, when he's played 13 games, I think, at CVC now, and I mean, there's countless plays of just like every person I've ever coached would have got tackled there except for this guy. And so yeah, I think it brings an energy to our team too, you know, because our kids know, like, O-line knows they got to block for the first, you know, 5 to 8, and then he's going to take care of everybody else, you know. So I think that's what he brings to the table, and then he works really hard, and he always smiles, always has fun. even last night, like he told me on the way over, he's like, you were in a funk, you know, and there's one player who always come to me and make sure that we're dialed in, you know, and you know, something like we got this, just trust us, you know, and he does it all the time. So yeah, I mean, he's a typical CVC senior who is mature and loves playing football, and he just happens to be really, really good.
Happens to be really, really good. And Bryson, you've you know, this is my first time officially meeting you. I think I might have met you at the Clovis North game on the sidelines last year, but you know, when you have that, what is your mentality, I should ask, when you know your number's being called on a certain play? And you know, hey, this could work if I hit the hole here and let my guys do their job, and I'll take care of the rest. So what's kind of going through your mind when you're about to receive the football on a handoff? You're like, man, I know what I can do with this.
One is, got to trust my coach to call the right play.
And then, there you go.
You got to trust my lineman, and then just execution.
Well, Coach Hughes said that you get mad when you don't score,
yeah.
Right? Why do you get mad? Do you just have high expectations for yourself? Like, I know I could take it to the house every time. You know, why, you know, that, yeah, that mentality, that, where
that's
that
exactly
from?
It. I'm really hard on myself. I feel like I should be able to score every play. When I don't, it takes me off a little bit, but I'm working on it. I'm staying calm.
Coach Hughes, are you tempted? Have you been tempted to play this guy on defense? Has he played defense or special teams, or you got him on kickoffs, or, you know? What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, he played defense last night a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was difficult. I mean, that was one thing I was really felt like he could be a good. I'll be honest, there was a time last year, it was probably like week three, you know, and Bryson was like essentially a scout team player last year, and we were running a blitz pickup drill with our O-line, and our coaches on offense decided to put him at linebacker and just blitz. And I mean, he was just smacking our guards, smacking them. And, I mean, to the point of where I was kind of like, I think I'm going to get him off this, you know. Like, I don't want him to hurt our guys. And I remember just talking to him, and I was like, you know, have you ever played linebacker? And he's like, I don't know if my body can take that, coach, you know. And so yeah, and then I think just, you know, not being able to play those first five last year, I don't think he honestly ever really got in football shape until the end of the season. And so it's hard to just throw a kid into there. And he hadn't played defense really probably since eighth grade or something.
Yeah.
And so He's a good defensive player. He's a good safety. We kind of play him in that linebacker safety area in the middle of the field. And so, he played a lot last night. And I think, you'll see him more and more on defense. He's on our kick return, but no one ever kicks to him. I think he's got like one return in 2 years. Yeah. But it does help. We have another guy who's really good back there who's got some touchdowns already. So, I don't know, maybe they'll start kicking to him there. And then he's on our field goal unit because we run the swinging gate and we try to do some things there. So, and then he's a phenomenal punter, actually.
Yeah.
So he's our punter. And
all right.
I think he had probably a 60-yarder last night. He boomed one last night.
We recovered it, too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We got the ball and they fumbled it. So, he actually told me, you got to put that on my highlight tape, coach.
I know, yeah. The more things you can do on a football field, the more attractive you are. So talking with Coach Mason Hughes, the Central Valley Christian, and Bryson Donaldson, the running back. Mason, has there been a play, you mentioned he's played 13 games, had to sit out, five last year, five games before he became eligible. Has there been a play where you just maybe became a fan? You're just like, oh, my gosh, there goes Bryce. I know. I've seen the highlights. I've seen some catches that you made. There's a great photo out there of you just mossing a guy. But has there been a play, Mace, where you just like, oh, my gosh, that just really happened?
Yeah, I mean, the first time he touched the ball last year against Herman, he scored a touchdown, and I knew we had something special. That play against Hanford was really cool. There was a play against Lamore. I think he scored on this play where he kind of just, like, threw guys around.
Yeah.
He did that again last night, actually. Probably the Lamore play. Because just what was going on in that game of us not having Jaden Moore and, like, kind of the shock of that and how our kids were playing at that moment and they were just fighting. And he kind of – it was kind of like – Bryson was really good last year, but we had a Division I major player, and I think that was probably our best player. And then we had another Zach Zord, another very good player. And in that game against Lamore, that was kind of like it was like a changing of the guard, I think. And so for me, maybe I don't know, I'm getting maybe a little too philosophical there, but like I think that's probably my favorite play, just because he was carrying us in that game against that team.
Is that a play that you remember, or is there a different play that you remember?
That's the first play on my highlight tape.
That's your number one?
Yeah, that was a good play.
That's your number one. Mason, how about you mentioned a little bit. I just want to talk about Clovis North a bit. So last year you guys beat them at Veterans. We broadcasted that game. That was a huge win for you and your program. Yeah. And, we knew Clovis North was going to be returning a good team, but we didn't know how good. But you got to see them firsthand. We know what they did last night.
Yeah.
How good are those guys?
That's the best team I've ever coached against. Definitely the best O-line we've ever seen. They got two running backs that are probably, Division I. Madsen is a phenomenal, I think, discus thrower. That's probably what he's going to end up doing. But at 21, man, Senfel is – He's a real deal, man. Yeah. That guy's arms are popping out of his uniform, and he wants to hit people, and you don't really see that anymore. You got guys who want to run fast, and he's very fast. But and then that O-line, man, the way they move like college linemen, and they're big dudes, and they're strong. You can tell they're really dedicated to the weight room, and defensively they're good. Yeah, if a team beats them –
they're going to have to play really good.
They're going to have to play really good.
Perfect.
And they're also going to have to be able to match how physical they are. And I think, that team's really good. Really good.
I want to talk about Bryson and his scholarship offers. I mentioned a few, including the hometown Fresno State Bulldogs. But, Coach Mace, when coaches contact you and they want to know about Bryson, what are some of the things that you tell them about Bryson?
Yeah, coaches always want to know about a kid's character and how they are at practice and how they are with their teammates and how they are in the classroom and what do their teachers say about them. And, they can see highlight film. They can see the kid. They know he's good. They want to make sure that he's going to, not – get them in hot water anywhere else. That's really what they want. They want to know that is he going to make everybody else better, And so that's what I tell them, and that's exactly what Bryson does. He makes everybody else around him better. I don't think there's a teacher on campus that would say a bad thing about him. I think the biggest thing with Bryson is, he came into a new spot last year and immediately won the team over with the way that he cheered for others. And he still does that. there'll be times I'll be watching film on the end zone camera, and you know, we are on defense, or maybe we're on offense and he's not in, and I mean, this guy's cheering as much as anybody. There was a play this year where Micah Payton scored a touchdown where he kind of ran a guy over, and I mean, Bryson's like high stepping, like he scored, you know. So that's just the way he is, you know, and he does that at practice, and he does that at school. He's friendly, and so that's, you know, that's what I tell him, and that's what they're getting. And he's a good captain, good leader, he's doing well in school, except for one class.
Yours?
No, I don't teach anymore.
Oh, okay.
I'm just messing with him. he's doing, and he, you know, he just does a good job of. He's an all around good student, and I mean, they're gonna wherever he goes, he's gonna get a kid who's gonna dedicate himself to that program, and then work really hard to achieve whatever the coaches want him to achieve. So, you know, I think that's what makes him super valuable.
Talking with Coach Mason Hughes and Bryson Donaldson of Central Valley Christian. Who's Bryson, I'll ask you, who are your favorite types of players, or who are some dudes that you like to watch on TV, NFL guys or college guys, guys that you like to emulate?
Dudes that make plays.
Is there anybody specific?
Dudes that make big-time plays. Leonard Fournette at LSU.
All right.
I watch him a lot. Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Like, just big explosive plays. I like watch dudes that make plays.
What's your height and weight right now?
Like 5'11 and then 209.
You're 209?
I just weighed in Boise State, 209.
All right.
It's probably after all that food they fed me. But it's probably after all that food they fed me. But, yeah. Probably 205 average.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds about right. 205. All right, so let's talk a little college, Bryson. So do you know when you're going to choose a school? Are you going to wait till maybe Christmas time when the season's over, or what's your plan?
Well, right now I probably got narrowed down to maybe three, but I just got to see him weighing.
Okay. Yeah. What has there been, you know, or when you finally decide on a college, like what's going to be your ultimate decision? Is it your relationships with the coaches? Is it, you know, the program in general? Is it, you know, closer to home? What do you think is eventually going to sway you to your college?
One, what program that I feel like I fit into best. And then two, just relationships. Do I trust the coaches? Do I trust they have a plan for me? And do I trust if I'm away from home, I'm going to feel safe, you know?
Exactly. That's super, super important. Yeah. Mason, what – you know, talk about the comparison. And you're a college guy more than NFL, right?
No, I like NFL.
You're
better.
NFL better? Yeah. All right. Yeah. So
go Raiders.
Go Raiders. All right. Well, Josh Jake, I mean, who can you compare Bryson's style to that people could relate to?
Yeah, that's – and we were talking. I mean, actually, I mentioned Josh Jacobs when I said, hey, this is kind of the guy we want you to emulate. But you were just saying that Bucky Irving from Oregon. You know, I just saw that kid play a little bit last year, and – I was like, oh, that's, you know, I wonder how big he is, right? Like, you know, because, you know, sometimes guys look small on TV and they're actually, you know, 6'2", right?
Yeah.
And so, and he's similar to Bryson's size and does similar things. And I actually watched his high school highlight tape, and it looks very similar to Bryson's. That's probably someone I would say that he plays like the most. We mentioned Josh Jacobs, but that's one thing I think, you know, I think all good backs can outrun people, but it's the ones who can get in those games where you're not going to outrun people, like when we played Clovis North, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to give it to them 20 times to try to control the game or get some momentum back, and being okay with 5-yard gains, 4-yard gains, you know. And so I think all running backs could see that in a guy like Josh Jacobs, you know. And obviously I'm a Raider fan, so I watch that guy all the time. but you know, that guy changes the game. You know, Derrick Henry does that, right? And I think that's what running backs, the best ones, still do that. You know, they can go catch the ball, they can do all those things, they can run touchdowns, but can they control the game? It's like an offensive line, you know? And so, I think that's where, you know, every high school running back could improve on in that area. And this kid has all the intangibles. He's so strong that, you know, being strong helps, you know? And so, I think that's definitely – maybe that's probably something that Bucky Irvin probably has to need to work on too, you know.
And I think that's those tough games, to be honest, right? You learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about your team. Those tough games against Clovis North. I mean, I've seen the highlights, right? Everybody knows there's Bryson Donaldson for 68-yard touchdown, 78, right? But it's those tough games against those tough opponents where you learn a lot about yourself, right? So in those tough moments, Coach, what did you learn about Bryson, right? You got to say, sometimes you got to be happy with 3, 4, 5 yards.
Yeah, I mean, that's just – that's it. That's it right there, you know. And I think the – you know, even in that game, right, the game was about to get out of hand right in the third quarter, and we went for it on fourth down and like fourth and two or something, and Bryson broke off a 42-yarder for a touchdown, right? And so – and I think up until that point, it had been a bunch of 4 and 5 yarders, right? And I think that's just important, right, in the moment. And again, against the best team we've ever played, that we were able to get back in the game at that point, you know. And so I think those are huge, you know. And I think that's an area that every running back needs to work on, is because most high school running backs, like, they've been the best player everywhere they've been, you know. And so their whole life, they've just scored on, like, every time they touched it. And so it's hard for them to then, like, oh, shoot, like, I can't score every time. I must not be good, you know, and that's not the case at all. And I think, you know, I think that's what those tough games do, you know.
And obviously Bryson is a phenomenal athlete, but you got some other good players on your team. I know your quarterback has had some big games, and Gunnar Peepgrass has had that monster receiving game. So who are some other dudes that have stepped up for you so
far? Yeah, I mean, those two guys. Brent's played awesome for us. You know, he threw his first pick last night, man. That was kind of a bummer.
Nah, that was okay on me.
Yeah, was that you? Yeah. Okay.
why was that you?
I seen a corner out there, and I was like, hey, what route does Ryan have? Brent said a fade. I was like, throw it.
That's your fault?
But okay. Ryan should have made the play.
Oh, man, we're putting Ryan on blast. He's only a sophomore. You can't talk about
it. He's going to be good.
Yeah, Ryan's very good. Yeah, I mean, I think our O-line has done a great job. We have two young guys. Excuse me. I'm losing my voice. I'm getting so upset about these guys.
It's not like you coached last night, you know, a hard-fought game.
Talk for me, Brian. Bryson, I lost my voice over here.
We got Micah. And we have Arnold D-line, we have Case, we have a young Kellen, he's a junior, he's going to be really good his senior year. Linebackers, we have Griffin, he's big, he's too big, that boy's big. And then safety, we have Kaden Ritchie, he also plays receiver, he's a good two-way player. And then corners, we play our hardest hitting corner out right now, Drew DeGroff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he could hit, he got a pick last night, first pick, makes good plays. And Bryce, he's sneaky little corner, but he has like 3 picks on the year.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, he's like 3 picks, pretty good. He's sneaky. The quarterback does. He comes down with the ball. I don't know how.
You guys have those sneaky little guys on your team.
Yeah, I know.
Those little sneaky guys, right?
Those little corners, guys. And those corners are kind of our seniors on our defense, you know. So they've done a good job. I think we had 3 interceptions last night. You know, all of them in the end zone.
Okay.
Yeah, and one of them, Caden, he returned it to the house. But then he got called for a face mask on a stiff arm. but, yeah, I mean, Bryson nailed it. You know, I think the offensive line is another group of guys that's been really good. Wyatt Rose, our center, our two guards, Tyler and Caleb, and the young guys on the tackles, Carter and Jacobus, right, two young kids who are huge. They're going to be really good. Yeah. I think those might be two college linemen there. And so, yeah, I think we –
You got them.
We named everybody.
You got the guys.
The whole team.
Did we miss anybody there?
That's great. We only got a couple minutes here, guys. And I love how you just skirted across Tyler. You just mentioned Tyler. Tyler's your son. All right. We got to give props to Tyler, your son, on the offensive line. Like I said, we got a couple minutes here. But your rest of your schedule, you got the bye week. Then you got Kerman, Selma, Kingsburg, Washington Union, and then Emmanuel. We got that Emmanuel connection.
Right,
Coach Hughes and I, We've told the story on air, so we don't necessarily need to repeat it.
I don't know if Bryson knows the story.
Well, maybe off air. We'll tell the story. Okay. I substitute taught while Mason was a student at Emmanuel. I coached Mason.
Right
I coached Mason for a year or two. Yeah, coached you. So anyway, it's always fun to talk about those days, but you're doing great things at Central Valley Christian. I want to talk really quick. We got time for one more question. Playoffs, you know, you guys are going to be bumped up to Division II. We know what happened against Lemoore. He ran into one of the hottest teams I've ever seen in the Central Section of Lemoore last year. That was just a great run by the Tigers in that. Right? Like, is the goal to win league and then compete at the highest level? You know, obviously you're ranked pretty high overall in the Central Section as well. But, you know, Division II is going to be loaded again, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, I think Division I and Division II is – I mean, clearly Division I's, you know, all the best teams. But I think, to answer your question, to win league. You know, I think our league is – every year it's tough. There's teams that are highly ranked, obviously like Kingsburg, and then there's teams that you know, kind of go under the radar, but they're tough, you know. I mean, Kerman is always going to give you everything they have. It's going to be exciting for us to play in Kerman. I don't think we've that's one thing. I'm just all about experience, man. Yeah. And so last night was the first time we got to play at Bob Mathias, and that was awesome. Nice. You know, the first time we played in Veterans last year. You know, next year we're going to play in La Monica, you know. And so I think, you know, going out to Kerman, I don't think our kids know, but, you know, they have the ability to turn their lights off immediately and turn them back on. And every time they score a touchdown, yep. It's flashing. And so I just think those experiences are cool for these kids. And so, yeah, and then we'll go to Washington, and they've got a great stadium. And so, yeah, league's tough. Trying to win league, that's what you want to do. Because if you can win our if we win our league, we're really good.
Yeah.
And so that's proof in the pudding. And so then, yeah, to play, compete at the highest level. And the way our system is now is, you know, it looks like, you know, it says we're a Division III team, but we've kind of turned into a Division II team, and it's probably going to keep doing that, you know. And so, you know, we want to play at the highest level, and we want to win as many games as we can and compete against the best teams as we can. And if that means we can win it all, awesome.
Yeah.
And if that means we come up just short like last year, you know, it was still really awesome, right? And so I mean all our kids want to win championships. Like I've never met a kid on our team that doesn't want to win a championship, you know. And so that's obviously the goal, and wherever we get placed, we're going to try to win it.
All right, great stuff. Really quick, what do you got for the rest of the day? I know you got called away from some volleyball duties. Yeah. But what do you got going the rest of the day?
We got volleyball. And then, you know, since I run ASB, we have our outdoor movie night.
All right.
We're going to watch The Sandlot in our stadium tonight.
Classic.
So, yeah, that'll be fun. I watched it yesterday to just preview it. And, yeah, man, it get, you know, that scene where they're all chewing and throwing up.
That's
on the spinner.
Oh my gosh. Reminded me so much of childhood. But thank you guys for coming. Bryson, good luck to you in the future. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, you got the rest of your high school career to play football, and whatever decision you make in college, I know it's going to be a great one. So thank you guys for coming on. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mace.
You bet. All right. Thank you to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, of course, First String Sports, Joe Gomez, Gabe Camarillo, Trevor Horn, Bryson Donaldson, and Coach Mason Hughes at CVC. Have a good weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.